You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightline with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, a great conversation with our buddy, stand-up comedian, comedian du jour, like sketch comedy, improv, the whole thing. Mr. Johnny Beaner will be here in just a little while, so don't miss that. And then we will cap things all up with the night. We'll wrap everything up with the nightcap. I know words. That's where we figure out everything we're talking about, listen to the last-minute texts, and talk about what we've learned on the show. So don't go anywhere. Still a great hour of programming still ahead. And before we do anything else, let's get a repeat of the question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
The question of the night is, what is your own personal Twilight Zone? It's National Twilight Zone Day, so what is your own personal Twilight Zone? Again, call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream, Facebook, YouTube, or the platform we still call Twitter. You can get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. You can call, text, leave a voice message. We'd love to hear from you. Or, hey, man, email us, Nightlight, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E, at civicmedia.us to let us know your thoughts on the topic or whatever. Let us know the job we're doing. Let us know about maybe guests or, you know, just write us. We want to hear from you, okay? We're worried. We haven't heard from you in a while, okay?
We never talk anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Pete's very concerned. And that's Pete Schwabba, by the way. He's all the way up in Marinette, Wisconsin, on the northeast coast of Wisconsin. I'm down here on the southeast coast in Radio Park in Racine. And all the way over at HQ for Civic Media is the one, the only, the soon-to-be-moved and the just-over-the-food-poisoning, Mr. Dom Lee.
Awesome.
He is here for you for whatever you need. Don't ask him because he doesn't have time. He's very busy. He's a very busy young man.
Busy
Let us know your thoughts on the question of the night. We'd love to hear from you. And before we get into all that stuff, Pete, you had yourself a weekend as well. We didn't get a chance to talk about your weekend.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that real quick, and then we'll get into all the text messages. But you had yourself a weekend.
It was fun. We got a lot done. You know, like, I'm not really a house guy, but when you have a house, you got to do stuff. So we did. That was our Saturday. For Mother's Day, my mom was out of town. My sister was here, my wife, obviously, so we took a walk. We celebrated Mother's Day for my wife. And this is what I love about my wife. She's always loved pizza.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, we couldn't figure out what to do. So she went to Devil Wears Prada 2 with her mom.
Yeah.
Did not like it because my wife doesn't like any movie unless it's a mediocre action movie. Part of the reason I love her.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then we came home, we ordered a pizza, and we watched this Ryan Phillippe movie. Is it Phillippe or Phillippe?
Phillippe.
Phillippe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Phillippe.
Ryan Phillippe, who I think is one of the most mediocre actors there is. You know, handsome guy, whatever. He always plays an ex-army guy who has to kick ass or whatever. So we watch this movie. He's with his daughter out in the wilderness, and there's this group of sovereign citizens who kidnap women, and they breed them. That's the premise of the movie. So it's a little dark, but this was kind of like a heartwarming version of that, if you can imagine. Father, daughter, bonding. Dad, you were always gone in the army. Well, I had to kill guys. Honey, what are you doing? I want to be an art student. So they bond. So here's my issue with movies like this. He's protecting his 16, 17-year-old daughter in the wilderness, and there's like 30 guys. So naturally, he kicks all their butts, whatever. He will, I don't understand, Greg, when I watch movies, kill the guy. He's trying to get your daughter. Oh, no, punched him, knocked him out. Now he go to this guy. Now he go to this guy. And then they all get up and he fights him again. Kill them. What are you doing? A karate chop to the back of the neck. This isn't 1977. it was maddening. It's such sloppy writing. It kind of ruined the movie for me.
Yeah, well.
But it's one of those movies, too, where you know, oh, this is safe. The girl's not going to be violated. He's going to save the day. And that's kind of why we watch it. We're just in the mood for something like that. Not like a David Fincher movie or something like that. You know? But it was just not, I don't know. It's just one of those, it's like, kill the guys.
Yeah.
It's your daughter.
It's a bummer when those movies that you might be looking forward to, you watch it. We just watched a movie recently called Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die.
Oh, yeah. And was it good?
No. It wasn't. Oh. I watched it. The first 13 minutes of the movie is amazing because it's a Sam Rockwell monologue delivered in only the way Sam Rockwell can.
Yeah.
But then it just sort of goes off the rails and it becomes weird. And the thing is, I can't even tell you what influences the movies it pulls from, because those in and of itself are spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
Because it makes you realize you know what's going to happen. So it's just disappointing. And I really wanted to see that movie. So I'm just glad we watched it sort of for free. It was on a streaming network. Our friend bought it, so we watched it. But it was just really, I don't know, it was a bummer. So I get that. I get the disappointing feeling, especially when you're looking forward to a flick. But yeah.
I think, too, like when my wife goes to see, like, Devil Wears Prada 2, great cast, good reviews, her expectations are up here.
Mm-hmm.
And she's let down. You rent a movie for $4.
If she only likes mediocre action movies, why would you even be surprised that she didn't like Devil's Wear Prada 2?
Well, because she surprises me every once in a while, keeps me on my toes. However, you know, when you're watching a mediocre movie, you have no expectations. It's like we were debating through the movie. She was saying, well, you could kind of see why he didn't kill that guy, because he thought the trailer ran him over. And I'm like, that's what we're debating. How implausible that last scene was. Whereas Devil Wears Prada is up here. It's like, come on, honey. But your expectations are lower when you just rent an action movie that no one's ever heard of, you know?
There are a lot of movies out there that are universally panned that I don't see until they're either on a streaming network or a premium cable, like an HBO or something. And I find myself enjoying them way more when I know I don't have, like, real money in it. Like, I know I've paid for the service, but, you know, when you watch all the movies, you get your money back at a certain point. But when you, like, perfect example. I watched for the first time a couple of months ago, I watched Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds. Terrible score on Rotten Tomatoes. Panned by the critics. Ryan Reynolds made fun of it in Deadpool. Oh, and I watched it and I just said, that's not bad. And I knew I knew I was okay with it because I saw it on my couch versus paying $15 in a movie theater and being severely let down. So yeah, I understand that completely. It's even worse though when you're watching it at your house and you're disappointed because you're like, this movie would really suck if I don't like it here.
Right. I don't have to leave the couch. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
But having said that, it was a good Mother's Day. It was just like you didn't have to leave the house. We weren't really in the mood to do that anyway. Took a couple walks. It was fun. It was nice.
I said this earlier. Our weekend was so done so fast. It was over. Like, the baseball game was great, but we were gone almost the entire day. And then on Sunday, it was brunch, and then it was the play, and then we got home, and I'm like, I'm going to bed soon. I'm very tired.
Right.
So, and Cabaret kind of takes it out of you because it's a depressing play.
Well, you had a game and a big show like that too. That'll take it out of you. How many ball games would you go to a year if you could? Like, what's 81. Your threshold?
81.
Really?
I go to all of them. I used to have the ballpark pass. I used to go to as many as humanly possible. I love baseball. It's real for me. Like, I would, if I had, like, the only reason why I don't go as much as I used to is because I live in Kenosha now. It's a little bit of a drive. And now there's construction in Milwaukee, it seems like, in every direction. So, you know, now it's 2, 3, maybe 4 a year, depending on the situation. But yeah, if I had the wherewithal, if I had the ability, I'd go to every single home game.
You just said is perfect. I'd go to 3 or 4 a year and I'd be happy with that. You
know? Yeah.
That's and how do you feel, Greg, about Miller Park?
I love it. It's great.
Okay.
Why?
It is really good.
Well, I noticed when they Miller Park, it's not even Miller Park anymore, but I grew up going to County Stadium and tailgating with my Murphy relatives, and it was so much fun. But when they built Miller Park, when it was Miller Park, I thought it was incredible. I thought it was a beautiful stadium. I love the roof. I love the way it looks. But a lot of Brewer fan, my Brewer fan friend, it's that County Stadium.
Yeah,
but
like, there's always people like that. There's always people like
that. Of course there are.
There are people now who are like, I won't call it anything but Miller Park. It's like, fine, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? It's I call it the ballpark. Or County Stadium 2, Electric Boogaloo. sometime.
No, I honest to God, and I'm like, I'm was grew up a Wrigley Field kid for historic purposes. I love that for state of the art. I think Miller Park is majestic. I think it's an awesome place to see baseball.
They have a slide and they have a roof. And what's funny is that it's not even just Cubs fans. It's other fans of baseball teams. They're saying like when the roof closed a couple weeks ago and there was a big rainstorm and it leaked, people were like, oh, see, you're stupid. It was like, yeah, but we don't have to cancel games. Like this was, they're going to fix this. Like if it's this is your complaint, this is a weak complaint. You don't want to come here anyways. You don't even live in this region of the country. Right. So why do you care? Why does a team that that has never won a World Series, that consistently loses it in the playoffs, sit so rent-free in your head that you have to complain about leaks in the roof? Dude, answer me that, Cubs fan 75.
Listen, when I lived in L.A., Dodgers fans hated the Cubs. And I'm like, how is that the team you're zeroed in on? They haven't won a World Series at that point. It was like in 105 years. Yeah. And the Dodgers had had their share of success. What is it about this team that you hate? They were at the time so harmless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I get in the, you know, depends on the day of the week. Like, you know, I despise the Cardinals sometimes. I despise the Cubs sometimes. I don't hate the teams, actually. I don't actually hate the teams. It's the fans who annoy me. But I'm sure I sound annoying, too. I don't know. It's petty squabbling that makes us real baseball fans because, you know, the chances of our team winning are, especially a Brewers fan, it's slim. I mean, we celebrate every 5 years going to the World Series and wait for it, .. losing. Every 5 years, we celebrate losing the World Series because that's all we have. Can't count the Braves because they were a different team, moved away.
Yeah.
So this is all we have.
I get that, but it was a pretty cool. I mean, the fact that they did lose and the celebrations that they had, that was pretty special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that, I get you trade that in for sure, but it was a pretty cool thing.
I even have a celebratory ALCS ring that they were giving away like 10 years ago. Sweet. It's very cool, but you're also like, oh, this is a loser ring.
Right. Bittersweet, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a few. Can I read some texts from Facebook here?
Go ahead, do it. Go for it.
Let's try to get a couple in here. Boris says, the question, of course, is what is your own personal Twilight Zone? Boris says, getting stuck in the right lane behind a city bus that goes on a break.
Oh, God.
Richard says, the frozen pizza section at Woodman's. Oh. Holy S. Pete Schwaba, young handsome kid out of Marinette, Wisconsin, says, standing in line at the grocery store behind someone with coupons who wants to cash in lottery tickets and pays by check. Then I get stuck behind them leaving the parking lot. That has happened more than once.
So this isn't a Twilight Zone thing. This is just a zone of inconvenience, right?
Oh, just your own personal whatever. It's kind of a vague.
Like a personal hell?
Sort of, yeah, sure.
Okay.
That works.
Mine is being stuck at a railroad crossing track, and the train is really long, and then it slows down and stops.
And you can't back up or turn around and go around. We get brutal trains here in Marinette, too. That happens all the time. One more here from Trig Rude on Facebook. He says, the current situation we are all living in. I can see where that would be a Twilight Zone. Sure.
All right. Absolutely. And we will get to more of you. We got a lot of text messages we can talk about later in the show. We'll talk about more about the Facebook comments and, you know, let us know your thoughts. What is your personal Twilight Zone? Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, a great conversation with our friend, our pal, stand-up comedian, Mr. Johnny Beaner on the other side of the break. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwaba and Greg Bach.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwaba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also get in touch with us by calling, texting, or leaving a voice message through the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free, so download that today. And if you want to send us an email, nightlight@civicmedia.us, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. Without any further ado, let us bring on our second guest of the evening. He's a stand-up comedian, a great guy in general, a Wisconsin native, and just all around wonderful. Mr. Johnny Beaner is back here on the program. Hello, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm great. Hello, Greg. Hello, Pete. How are we doing, everybody? Hi, Dominic. Hello. See you.
I see you.
This is, it's great. You know, I am, I thought we were on the air. During break, we were talking.
Yeah.
And I thought we were on the air. Can I tell you something? I was with Amber Preston, another great comedian.
Yeah,
out of,
yes.
Minnesota. We were doing a gig together somewhere out of North Dakota. We went in for radio. We're making small talk, you know. And then they're like, all right, well, thanks for coming in. I did not realize we were on the air at any point.
That just reminds me of that thing you do where they're like, say hi, hi, and that's it. And they're like, all right, leave the headphones there. Have a good day, guys. I met Amber, actually. I met Amber in L.A. with you. I was in L.A. doing – I was just I was in L.A. for some reason, and you introduced me outside the Comedy Store, and there's a picture of us somewhere on the internet somewhere. But, yeah, it was so great to see you, Johnny. It's been so long. In fact, I think maybe one of the last times I saw you was doing that North Dakota run.
Maybe it could be. It could
the
be.
Hanson one?
What's that?
Was that the one for the Hansons?
I don't know what that gig is. What's the Hanson?
I don't know what that one is.
Stand-up gig where you go up Grand Forks all the way out to, what is it, Devil's Lake? And then, yeah, it's crazy.
Tom Hanson?
Yeah.
No, I did not do that gig.
Okay.
This was one in Fargo, and then we drove all the way back to do Goonies in Minneapolis.
Duluth.
You're right, Duluth. And then we walked in the hotel, and we got a message from the club saying, yeah, we canceled the late-night shows. You're only doing two shows this weekend. Full pay. I'm like, all right, cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was a nice night. That was a good weekend. You know, it also allows you to get in the car and get home faster.
Yep.
So. Hey, John. Okay, so the reason you haven't been... What?
Am I in trouble?
I've never heard it. In my life, I've known Johnny for about 20 years now. I've never heard anyone call him John. It's interesting. Very interesting.
Right, yes, Peter.
Back to me. Peter. So...
Oops.
Well, I you know, there's times that I would call you Johnny, but this just seemed like a John moment. But
sure, hey, sure.
All right, so I thought we had to have you on because you just did a special for is it Nateland Productions?
Yeah,
Nate Bargatze, of course.
I don't know that I would call it a special. It was I did a set on there. It's called Nateland Presents The Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of their, you know, the shorter, it's like Premium Blend compared to the half hour Comedy Central Presents. Yeah. That's what I'd say. So it was like a 15 minute set. But yeah, I drove down to Nashville for it and taped it. I had a lot of fun and it's been great.
Had you worked with him before?
I never worked with Nate. I hadn't met him in passing before. I doubt he remembers that. I almost don't remember it, but yeah.
Okay.
Right. So if you're asking how did I get it, I don't know. But when they asked us to like film, okay, we're going to go into the lobby of Zany's, just talk about your relationship with Nate and how this came to be. And I was like, I don't really know. I emailed the club and they.
Who's Nate?
Yeah. Nate who?
What's this city called Nateland? I've never heard of this before.
I just stopped in for directions. What's going on?
That's the great thing about him, though, is he's been doing this for a while. I know our buddy Chastity Washington also did a set for that. I don't know who else did, but I mean, I've seen a lot of people going to Nashville for that show. And I just love the fact that he's so interested in helping other comics get on stage and get those sets taped and out there, because having a Nateland set is that's a big deal for a lot of people. And also just the fact that he's got his buddies who he takes on the road. And, you know, I think that's always great when people remember where they came from. And he just seems like a real solid dude. He's just him. There's no other way of describing him.
Yeah, I agree. And I see those videos of him, like, you know, when he's on his tour with his buddies, it just seems that's the dream to make it big, bring your buddies with you and just do these arenas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the goal.
We should do that, guys. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll get a van. We don't really need a bus yet. We could get like a van.
Yeah. We don't need a theater. We'll just do like a black box small town.
We don't need to do a tour. We'll find one theater in one city and we'll just rent that for a month.
You know, let's just get lunch sometime.
Yeah, let's get lunch sometime.
Do you
actually
think
I'll hit you up on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
I know you're not like tight with him, Johnny, but do you think he's clean when he's hanging out with his friends? He's so clean on stage. But like when he's kicking back with his buddies, like is that who you think he is, or do you think he drops a few F bombs here and there?
I don't know. I'm speaking out of ignorance, but I'm thinking that he is clean. Because I've heard him talk about it and he's like, "Well, that's how I am, so why would I be off stage on different on stage?" Whereas Jim Gaffigan, Brian Regan, you know, they
swear
very filthy off stage. And it's just, that's just not the brand. And so, but I feel like with Nate, that kind of is him. But I don't know. I could be wrong.
Cool.
All right. We're going to keep this conversation going with our good buddy, Johnny Beaner, on the other side of the news break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be talking more about comedy, the life of comedians, and how much we absolutely could get booked anywhere. So book us, please. You know, find our websites. But more of that coming. Exactly. We'll also talk about Johnny's podcast as well, which if you are listening to The Secret Show, you would have heard about. But if you're not, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Don't go anywhere. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close. Oh, man, I don't want to talk. I want to keep listening to Chicago here.
I like watching all of our heads pop.
Johnny was really dancing there. It was sweet. Yeah.
Hey, folks, you're watching and or listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we're going to wrap everything up with the Nightcap, where we talk more about your text messages on our question, which is, what is your own personal Twilight Zone? And we'll discuss what we have learned on this evening's show. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. And we're going to continue talking to our good buddy, Johnny Beaner. He is a very funny comic. In fact, his title here on the StreamYard video is Johnny Beaner, Funny Comedian. So
I got to stand out. And, you got to differentiate yourself.
You need a hook.
Yeah. I trust Johnny.
He's one of those funny ones.
Yeah, he's one of those funny ones, not just comedian, you know, like the comedian period, like real, like, oh, man, I deconstruct the absurdity of life, man.
No, I don't.
You get paid in chicken tenders. That's what you get to do. That's what you do. So where we're at the break during the Secret Show on the live stream, we were talking about road gigs. And Johnny, you were just talking about being on the road up north with, was it with Charlie Kogis?
Charlie Kogis. Yeah, I brought him it was a casino up in the UP, and it was their like first one they're ever doing. Like, they're starting it, and so they laid out a very optimistic amount of chairs in this giant room, and everyone, of course, sat in the way back, right in front of the bar. You know, it's called the press box, and so everyone's way. Charlie goes out there. They had a radio DJ just say, "Hey, turn off your phones. Here's comedy." Brings out Charlie. He opens up by just begging people to come up front. He's like, "Guys, this is going to be a much better show if you all come forward. You're all super far away. If you don't like the show, you think comedy's stupid. That's not our fault. That's because you're sitting so far away. Come close. I promise I'm not going to make fun of your stupid hat or anything. Just come up." And, and we're talking after the show. And he points out that right after he said that, a guy that I had been interacting with during the show did come up front. And it was this guy that had the most ridiculous hat on. He had one of those like, you know, round, it was like a Laurel and Hardy hat. It's like not a pork pie hat, but it was like
a round, bowler,
like a derby hat. He's wearing a derby hat for real. He had a red puffy beard, but his whole front of his face was shaved. He just looked like a full size leprechaun, like a real person sized leprechaun. And after he says, "You know, I'm not going to make fun of your hat," of course, that's this guy's cue to go sit right up front with his hat.
I don't know what
Charlie said anything to him because he
made a promise. You made me a promise. But you didn't promise, so you can say whatever you wanted.
That's right. And I did. I did talk to him because I was not aware. I didn't make that promise.
I don't know what's worse, the idea of the entire audience sitting in the back or just one human getting up and walking to the front and being like, "Well, you're my audience now, so here we go." I love when the venues do that where they say they give you all the promises and we're going to sell a lot of tickets and blah, blah. And they, yeah, so bad news, guys, not going to have as many tickets sold as we thought. Well, how many have you sold? We sold seven.
Yeah.
We sold seven. I did a show, and did any of you guys ever do a place called the Arthur House in Arthur, Wisconsin, just outside Platteville?
Oh, mm-mm. I've done it so many times.
Yeah. Great buffet. You get a free buffet plus your money. Yeah.
Is that the best thing you could say about the gig? Great food?
It's really good to go have fun, I would say. It was the first time I ever featured.
They're good people. They're good people there.
Okay.
But the first time I ever did the show, and I did it with now our late friend James Irving Barry, he gave me a shot. He asked that question all new comedians get. They said, do you have 30 minutes? And of course I said, yeah, of course I do. I didn't. but when we walked in, he goes, the guy who owned the place at the time, he said, Bob, bad news, guys. There's a wedding in the next town, so everyone's there. I'm like, oh, there's not enough people in the town to come here. Everyone's just check. Okay, cool deal. We did a show for three people. It was amazing. Wow.
The only thing that would have made that worse is if he would have said, would you guys mind packing up and heading over to the wedding to entertain everybody?
I would have. This is awful. I would have. Oh, man.
Okay, so this is, I love this statistic or this factoid about you, Johnny. You were the last original booking comedian on the on the Late Show with David Letterman, the last new comic book before he retired.
Yes, the last new person to make their debut, yes.
What's the, and you know, Greg, weigh in here too. What's the show right now? We got all these talk shows. They seem kind of about the same, but is there one, I knew, you know, it was Carson and it was Letterman. What's a show right now that you would want to do, and who's the guy?
I think it's Nateland Presents The Showcase. I think that's the new one.
tell us more about that, Johnny. I've never heard of it.
Is there one?
I think
one
the Tonight Show is the only one that's consistently putting stand-ups on their show. Like,
is that true?
Yeah. Wow. Colbert stopped doing a long time ago from what I, and this is hearsay. This is, well, not hearsay. It's from someone who did the show. He wouldn't even be at the desk when they would do their set. He didn't care for stand-up. He didn't care. He was like, you did your set and you went home. And that was it.
Oh. Who didn't care? Colbert.
Yeah. Oh. He didn't care about stand-up. But he stopped doing that a while ago. And I'm trying to think, Seth Meyers hasn't had a stand-up comedian on there for a while. It's just not what they're known for. And I mean,
Seth Meyers.
Yeah. And I don't remember if Corden ever. Well, Corden did do it because I remember our friend Laurie Kilmartin did that show before it went off the air. But the Tonight Show is the only program now that I see that still does it. I shouldn't say consistent, still does it.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, that's I mean, that's undeniable to have that as a credit to do the Tonight Show, you know?
It would still be. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't shake a stick at it. It's the bummer is there's not as much power behind them as they used to be.
Right, right.
But it's still great. I mean, you put it out there in the world, people watch and people are proud of you. So, I mean, again, I wouldn't say no.
That used to be like your foot in the door, and now it's all. Are you going to bring your own, 90,000 fan base to the gig? You know.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, how many people, Johnny, ask you, how many bookers nowadays ask you for your followers? Like, how many followers? What's your social media like? Do you have a lot of followers?
Wow.
I've stopped reaching out to new bookers that don't already know. I don't have a huge following. But I do hear stories about that when you reach out to a new club and they're like, what's your numbers? Ugh.
Yeah.
Too much to count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our guest is Johnny Biener, folks. He is very funny, Madison-based stand-up comic, and he was the last new comedian ever booked on The Late Show with David Letterman. I find that just to be a really cool thing. Hey, tell us about your podcast that you haven't been monetizing when you really should.
It's myself and Andrew Slater. It's called The Cavalry, which we regret naming it that every day because people are like, The Calvary? Is it a religious podcast? And I have to, I have to double check before I say it out loud every time. Anyway, I'm calling in the cavalry. I need backup. So it's that. We've been doing it since, 2020. We're at like episode 350 something. Just bring topics to the table that we need backup on. And we try to back each other up. And we had a string where we would bring guests on, like when we'd run out of topics and be like, I can't think of anything. We'll bring a guest on, make them do the legwork. But then all of our feedback, like on our, podcast reviews and like our social media channels would be like, stop, Stop having guests. We like it better when it's, there's no guests.
Oh, really?
But we like it better when there are guests.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it depends. I mean, it depends on, like, for me, like when I'm listening to a podcast, it depends on if, are you having a conversation or, like, you know, we've all heard those where it's just nonstop bits, interrupting bits, bits, and you're not actually like doing anything. You're not talking about anything. It's just who can be funnier or who can be louder.
Right.
That's just, no, thank you.
Yeah. But it's, so, it's a fun podcast. You should all listen.
Yeah. You should all listen. Yeah. Where can people find it, Johnny? Is there a place where you can find podcasts in the world?
I think it's on every single place that you can get podcasts. Yeah. I listen to mine on Apple Podcasts, but it's called The Cavalry with Johnny and Andrew, or with Andrew and Johnny. I'm not sure.
You still haven't worked that out.
Who gets top billing?
I haven't looked at our logo lately.
Well, what do you have coming? I mean, it's summertime, and you said before you're going to be doing the Jefferson County Fair in the summer. Are there any other shows that are coming up? Any like tours or things we should be on the lookout for besides your wonderful set on Nateland?
You know what? Right now, I'm just trying to get people to come to the Plus. That's one gig at a time. That's this Thursday in Eau Claire.
That's my tour. You should have a T-shirt.
If there's two dates, it's a tour. That's it.
That's right. What? Okay, so you're kind of billed as a clean comedian for the Nateland set you did. And I've seen you work clean, but you're really funny when you kind of deviate from that. Do you consider yourself not a clean? Huh?
I say, and you've seen me work not clean.
Yes, I have. You're fun. And I like it when, like, I like when a guy gets dirty. That's fine because I know you're funny anyway. But when it's a guy that relies on it, that's one. And I was the same. I would go off track a little bit. But, like, how do you bill yourself? And did you have to pretend to be clean to get on the
Nateland? I mean, I think that I just had been told that I was clean a lot when I was starting out.
Okay.
And so I was kind of like, oh, okay. I thought of myself as a clean. So I'd bill myself as that. And I do a lot of corporate stuff. So I am used to just being like, okay, just a small switch. Is this squeaky or is this comedy club? And then when it's like a regular comedy club, I do like to just have no rules. Mm-hmm. But even when I do that, it's like, oh, that's silly, piggish, sophomoric humor. It's not like, oh, that's really filthy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had shows where I drop the F-bomb and, you know, old ladies come up to me after, oh, thank you for keeping it clean. And it's like, I'm pretty sure I said the bad word.
In today's society, that's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Except the FCC doesn't like it, so we'll keep it clean. But I mean, that's just something like for me personally, I came out of comedy sports training, and comedy sports is absolutely no swearing whatsoever. So that actually, like, when I do swear on stage, but it's always targeted. Like, there's always I have a joke I tell that I must say the F word to make the joke work. Any other word doesn't work. And to just say that, just to like blank it out. So if I can't do that, if I have to be clean, I just don't do the joke because it doesn't work. But we've all seen those people who just constantly swear on stage as almost a part of the English language, as far as like it's that it doesn't serve a purpose. It's just like punctuation marks and whatever. And you're like, do you hear yourself right now? Do you hear all the words you're saying? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I just think it's better. I don't want to say better to work clean, but it's better to start at the clean stage. And then if you want to swear, you choose to. And that's, I mean, for me, the longest time, you didn't do that at all. I remember one time you were at the club and you're like, I think I'm going to be a little dirty tonight. I'm like, I don't know what that means for Johnny Beaner, because dirty does not automatically mean swearing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Greg mentioned comedy sports. You've done Second City and UCB. I always forget about that. Upright Citizens Brigade, or maybe it was IO or what. How does that, like, I've heard people say, oh, it really helped my stand-up. Did it help your stand-up? Like, did doing improv help you as a stand-up comedian, or did it not make that much of a difference?
I mean, I don't know, because I was improv before I did stand-up. Like, I started stand-up in 99, but I was doing, like, all in college, I was on the Studio 13 Refugees improv team, and we would play with Comedy Sports. Comedy Sports would come to Marquette, or we'd go to Comedy Sports. And so I was doing, you know, the gamey improv, like, for a long time, and we would do our shows. And then after I graduated, I did Second City. And then when I moved out to LA, I went through the...
Next time you're here, let's do that. We'll play some improv games.
Love zip, it. Zap, zap.
French Schneider, baby. All right, that's Johnny Beaner. He's a stand-up comedian. Check him out on Nateland, his set. Check him out if he's in your town. Johnny, thank you so much for being here tonight. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
John. All right, when we come back, it's the Nightcap. Don't go anywhere. It's Nightlight with Pete and Greg.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Our question of the night is, what is your Twilight Zone moment, idea? It's National Twilight Zone Day, so what is your own personal Twilight Zone? Let us know. We're going to get you your text messages in just a moment, but before we do that, letting you know what's coming up on the program tomorrow. We'll be talking to Tom and Christy Manis. They are the Midwest travel bloggers and authors of Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. So that'll be on tomorrow's program, so don't go anywhere. Come on in. Come on back. Stick around. Let's have some fun. Let's get to some text messages. And someone said that like Christopher Walken. Text messages. and some Facebook comments on tonight's question. What is your own personal Twilight Zone? Dom, let's start with you. We got a lot of text messages.
We do. Yeah, we have Karen from Racine saying, my view is we have been living in the Twilight Zone since the Cubs won the World Series.
Amen.
We also got David.
I didn't know if that meant a good thing or a bad thing, but yeah, that probably.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Then we got David from Richmond Center saying, my Twilight Zone moment is waking up from a nightmare of the Orange Menace in office and finding out he actually was the president.
Okay. Oh, man. Wow. That sounds awful.
That is, yeah. That's not a good
Almost one. As bad as the Cubs winning a World Series. I'm just kidding. No, go on. Go on.
We got Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids saying, Dustin Hoffman's ratso would have set that guy right with, hey, I'm walking here.
Hey.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone comparison. Telly Savalas episode talking to Tina drives me crazy. I got it right.
I like that people are putting in actual episodes of Twilight Zone. Cool, man. All right. Cool. Keep on going.
Let's see what else we got here. We got Monica from Mount Horeb says, when I'm in a store and the clerk can't make change if I add on some singles or coins. And just a quick example, if I owe $6 and give the clerk $11 to get a $5 back and they hand me back the $1 bill and say it's only $6. Or my total is $5.59, and I have them $6.07 to get two quarters back. It just paralyzes some of them, and the look of confusion is painful. Wow.
I mean, Monica,
is it worse than the look of confusion on my face right now?
Yeah. Also, Monica, you're half the problem here. You're paying with cash. My God, get a debit card. I'm just kidding. Ooh, I'm spicy in the last.
Or
section.
Telly Savalas, use a player's card.
Yeah. Oh my!
How about that reach?
Diners Club friends for all your needs.
Oh, was it Diners? It was Diners.
I think it was
right.
Diners Club. It was. It was the first credit card. First.
That's right.
Good Lord! Oh my goodness! All right. What else we got there, Dom? We got any more text messages?
Yeah, we got a few more. We got Tony the trucker saying, "Fellas, it's when my wife decides to have a garage sale. First, it's what to sell and for how much. Then the weather is bad and the turnout is low. Then the fights begin and what to donate and what I need to drag back to the basement. It's just. It's all just.
Says I'd rather get a root canal.
May I suggest just putting your stuff in the yard and setting it on fire? There you go. Done. Problem solved.
Goodwill, Tony. Come on. You got a truck, apparently. Tony the trucker. Put your stuff in there and take it to Goodwill.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
What else we got?
We also got Anna in Madison says, when I'm flying and look out the wing of the plane, I always think of the Twilight Zone episode. Oh, yeah. At 20,000 feet with William Shatner, who seems a gremlin sabotaging the wing of his plane. Wow.
And then she made a reference to you, Dom.
Read
the
rest
end there.
Of that, Dom. Oh, read the rest of
Remember
it, Dom.
The scene in Bridesmaids when they all got food poisoning after eating at a Mexican restaurant. Wow.
We won't ask Dom what happened in the middle of any street in Madison. We'll keep on moving. Right. What else we got in Texas? We got a few more left, right?
Yeah, we do. We got Nick from Marshall saying, my own personal Twilight Zone is my health or lack thereof to some degree. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We got Robert from across saying, Twilight as skip of my curling team with the hammer. My only shot requires that I curl around a cluster of three stones to land closer to center than an opposing stone. Wow.
Okay. I'm going to pretend like I understood all of that.
It doesn't sound like a Twilight Zone. That sounds kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's
See if you can get through John's.
Yeah, there's one more.
That's John wrote a book.
Yeah, chapter one.
Yep. I had what felt like a real Twilight Zone moment on a fishing trip. to a remote lake up in the UP. Took a nap on the bank for a little while one morning. Woke up to an old woman poking me in the ribs with a stick.
No.
Oh, gosh. She looked like a witch, and then she walked away and disappeared into the woods. When I got back to camp, I asked if anyone else saw the crooked old lady walking around. My friend spoke up fast and said, "We're 50 miles from any town, and there's no way you saw an old lady walking around."
What?
And my skin crawled. I was wide awake when she walked away. Wow.
I believe, John, what? I don't think anyone can say with confidence, "We're 50 miles from anywhere, there's no one around." No, no, no. Your friends are, they're messing with you, John.
With them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Also, I would never fall asleep on a beach. No, no, no. Either
that
sunburn.
That surprised me, too.
That's, no, thank you.
Like in the Old West, when they just laid outside next to a campfire and there's like, you know, scorpions. I can't do it.
I'm just thinking about the neck pain from just laying on a rock. Like, here's my pillow. It's a big old boulder. Life on the range is lonely. All right. Thank you so much, everyone who got in touch with us on text. Pete, do we have any last second Facebook comments?
I don't think so. I think we're pretty much caught up. Yeah. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Then I have two on my Facebook here. My friend Chad, very, very funny guy, loves a googly eye sticker. He says his personal Twilight Zone is to serve man. And then my friend Pete, who is amazing, said when the bullet hits the bone, he made a golden earring reference to the song Twilight Zone.
Oh, sweet. That's a great tune.
That's amazing. Wow. God, that was so good. All right.
Who sang that?
Golden Earring.
Into the Twilight. Yeah. Golden Earring. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, the same band who did... I can't think of the song. Doesn't matter anymore. All right, cool. We're going to keep moving on then. I really can remember stuff. That's great. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow we're talking to Tom and Christy Manis. They're Midwest travel bloggers and authors of Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful World and Obscure. Really quick before we get out of here, Pete, what'd you learn?
I learned that Kristen Lierley is also on the show tomorrow night. She's probably going to make fun of my futon.
Oh,
and,
sorry.
But I would say that Johnny Beaner needs to take better care of his podcast. He's probably passing up a lot of loot, leaving it all on the floor there.
Don, what about you? What did you learn?
That was so awkward.
Same thing, but for his socials. He's got to get better with the socials, I think, right? Not just the podcast.
I think you guys should manage him. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right.
What
folks,
did you learn, Greg?
Absolutely nothing. So, no,
I made all my stuff up, too.
I learned that Johnny Beaner got a Nateland clip, and I'm very happy because he should be very, very famous. He's very, very funny. You should check him out. Folks, Agreed. Thank you, everyone who got in touch with us, calling, texting, whatever it was. You make the show happen. Dom Tucker, Engineering Traffic, you make sure the microphones turn on. Thank you so much for being here. Don't go anywhere. Stick around for more programming. This has been Nightlight with Pete and Greg here on the Civic Media Network. Have a great night. Pete, send him out.
Good night, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.